Allison Carter with the Milestone Podcast. This is episode 61, and today I wanted to use this show as a bit of a follow-up to the interview show last week with Ayelet Marinovich, who is a speech and language pathologist. She and I have never met, and in fact, the day we recorded the interview was the first time we had ever spoken to each other. The reason I'm mentioning this is to help drive home the point for today, which is that in early intervention, especially when it comes to home-based or natural environment-based services, there is and should be a connection across providers. Even providers that don't know each other can be on the exact same page as far as working with families of children with special needs and children of all abilities in our community. It is refreshing and exciting to know that a provider in California has the same philosophies and views on effective early intervention practices as I do in Kansas, and I'm guessing and hoping other providers and disciplines in all states and in other countries around the world. Now, of course, I'm speaking from an early intervention perspective because that is the main area that I work in, but I know that the commonalities between providers is similar in other treatment settings like school districts, outpatient clinics, and even home health care with adults. Since we have been talking about early intervention and general child development with infants and toddlers lately, I'm going to stick with this age range for now. One of the points we briefly touched on, but I didn't get into as much detail as I would have liked, is how when we are working with families and providing suggestions and looking at a child's development, we often recommend the same or similar activities to encourage their continued development in certain areas. However, we often look at each activity or suggestion from our own discipline's point of view to a degree. Even though we do this, we still understand and consider all of the areas of development to be important, and we try to keep in mind how other therapy disciplines would look at each activity as well. Let me explain this more. One basic milestone we look for is container play. More specifically, we look at whether or not a child can put toys or objects into a container. This can be done with anything. You can use a mixing bowl and plastic rattles, a bucket and mega blocks, a box and washcloths. Really, there are so many things in your house you could use for this activity. I will say, I tend to have the best success with containers that are see-through and toys or objects that the child could hold using one hand. I think it is helpful for the child to be able to see the object in the container from any angle, so I like the see-through ones for that reason. However, it doesn't have to be see-through by any means. Also, it can be reinforcing for the child if the object makes a sound when it lands inside the container. Many times, kids will want to repeat this activity because they like hearing the sound when the object hits the bottom of the bowl or container. At this particular point, where I'm looking for the beginning of the putting in skill, I would also recommend sticking with containers that have a larger opening where it will be easier for the child to be successful. I wouldn't expect them to be able to put objects in a smaller space right away, as in a shape sorter or a smaller tube or a bottle. Something with a larger opening at the top is really great to begin with. In typical development, we look for this skill to happen around 10 or 11 months of age. This activity falls under the area of being a fine motor skill. Literally, the child holding an object in their hand and purposefully releasing it so that it falls or drops into a container. To many people, this may seem like just something pretty ordinary, cut and dry. And to some degree, it is fairly cut and dry. Did the child put the object in the container or not? However, we can look so much further into this activity and recognize all of the other things going on surrounding it that might not be so obvious to most people unless we discuss it. So, let's discuss it. From a strictly OT perspective, fine motor-wise, I'm looking at how the child is holding the object in their hand. Are they using their whole hand? Or are they using their fingertips and their thumb? Or are they holding it closer to the pinky side of their hand or closer to the side where their thumb is? Are they using one or two hands to hold the object? Do they put one object into the container and remove it right away? Or do they put a few objects in first before dumping them out or reaching in and removing them? How long does it take for them to release the object from their hand once they are holding it over the top of the container? Can they reach across with their left hand and put the object into a container that is placed on their right side of their body, and vice versa, also known as crossing midline? Are they overreaching the container or dropping the object before they get to the container? These could be signs of potential vision issues, depth perception issues. I would also consider the tactile sensory aspects of this activity. Which types of objects do they prefer to pick up and use for this? Which ones do they avoid touching, if any? Those are some of the main OT aspects of this activity. However, I wouldn't consider myself a good pediatric OT if I only looked at those things. I'm going to list more things that I would be looking for with this activity, but they will be now from the eyes of what other therapy disciplines would be looking at from their perspective. This is not an easy thing to do as I'm sitting here thinking about it because I'm so used to considering all aspects of development in order to make sure nothing is getting missed. Please keep in mind as I'm going through these things because I want to make sure other parents and other therapists who are in early intervention programs understand that while we all come from our specific backgrounds, we have to be able to look at the whole child and consider all of these aspects of development. That's why we are involved with them in the first place. Even if something falls maybe outside of your realm or your comfort zone, you need to be able to recognize when there is a potential delay or a concern so that you can assist the family in getting the right person involved as appropriate. A big and one of the main parts of early intervention is catching things early so that any potential needs or concerns can be addressed as early as possible. Okay, enough with all that. I think you should be on the same page with me now. So some other ways of looking at this very simple putting in activity. From a gross motor perspective, which generally falls under physical therapy, but also occupational therapy, especially at this age, is the child able to sit independently during this activity? Are they using one hand to lean on while balancing and sitting to reach and put things in? Are they holding on to the container with both hands for dear life, afraid that if they let go to pick up a toy or object to put it in, they will fall over before they get the chance? Are they able to do this activity if their parent is holding them in their lap for support? Can they stand at a couch or a coffee table and put things into a container that's placed on top of the object? Or can they hold onto the table with one hand and partially bend over to put the object into a container that's on the floor beside them? Are they using W sitting, or can they sit with their legs out in front of their body without falling over? From a speech and language perspective, this can be a social game where they're putting things in and so are their parents or their siblings. Or are they able to imitate the action of putting the object in after you do it? It's also a cognitive or a problem-solving type skill. Do they continue that action and possibly look to their parent for the recognition to see if they were watching and if they saw them do it, and waiting for their parent to cheer or clap for them when they put the objects in? We model language put in or just in when we're putting the objects in, so they can see the action and hear the words that go along with it at the same time. We can also make silly sound effects that catch the child's attention when we drop our objects in. They might be at the point where they aren't ready to drop the objects into the container yet, but they are willing to hand the object to you so you can make that silly sound again, and they can observe how you do it for a while longer. You can use language to talk about the different objects and the container that you are playing with, like naming the colors or listening to the sounds they make, or any other words that generally describe the objects and the activity overall. What does this look like from the parent's perspective? Well, without all of these explanations, it could look like we're just entertaining their child and having a good time with them. And we are hopefully all having a good time, but as you can tell now, that is not all that is going on here. I hope that I can drive home the point right now that as therapists and early interventionists, we tend to understand each other explicitly. I don't usually have to explain to the other therapists that I work with why I want to see if a child can play by putting objects into containers. They already know where I'm coming from on that, and I know they want to see it too, and I know why. Remember that we have the advantage here. We have to make sure we are explaining the purpose of why we want to see if the child can do certain things and what we hope the child will learn from doing them. A lot of times, I forget that things that seem obvious to me are not always obvious to the parents that I work with. This is important for therapists to remember and for parents to know as well. We need to make sure we are giving the parents the information so they can use it too. They might have 20 other ways to use that information in their daily routines throughout the rest of the week that we wouldn't necessarily have thought of. And parents, make sure you are asking if we forget to describe or explain what we are looking for with different activities or suggestions. I love when parents ask me to explain why I would recommend certain things because then I know they are thinking about it, and they will be able to come up with ways to do this that works for them and their family routine. It also lets me know that I didn't explain my thoughts or the reasons why I recommended that activity, or that I didn't explain them in a way that actually made sense to that parent. Now, getting back to the container play activity, I wanted to mention that many of the things I talked about relating to that one specific activity also relate to many other activities. I can use what I observe the child doing with the container activity and get a pretty good idea of what other things they might be ready to try or that might be the next level for them to try. One activity builds on another one and so on through development. As I mentioned in the beginning of this show, I am coming at this from an early intervention therapist perspective. However, I believe these concepts are the same or very similar for therapists in other settings, not only with kids, but also in many situations when working with adults. It is truly almost impossible to only consider fine motor skills with an infant without considering gross motor skills, hearing and vision, self-help skills, communication, social and cognitive skills, sensory processing, nutrition, feeding, and so many other areas that we look at. Please send me an email if you have anything to add to this discussion from anyone's perspective. I would love to hear from you on how this works for you as either a therapist in any setting or a parent with young children. My email address is allison@mymidwesttherapy.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.